You Missed a Spot is a series of interviews with friends and like-minded folks who have ideas worth sharing. So listen and enjoy this offering from My Dirty Laundry, a podcast of ideas. So welcome, friends, to My Dirty Laundry, a podcast of ideas. Today, I have a special topic to discuss with a special friend here on the podcast, Erica Navarro. I'll let herself introduce herself as to, what's going on. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Erica, and what you do.
So I live in Ontario. In Burlington specifically. I have been married for almost 3 years now. I've been sharing a lot about my TTC journey. So for those who don't know what TTC stands for, it stands for trying to conceive. I've been sharing a lot about that. I've been sharing a lot about my plus size journey and wellness and just switching to a more non-toxic life in terms of personal care products and things like that. So that's me.
Wow. Yeah, there you go. Welcome to this world of randomness here that I've kind of created, because it's as people know who listen to the podcast, I just invite friends over and just chat about from serious to not so serious topics. But this particular one, TTC, that's the first time I've heard of it. But of course, I've heard of, it's known as, infertility or miscarriages. Yeah. I think that's what I've been hearing from some of my women friends who, they don't speak about it as much. And I've also affirmed that with certain sources that it's not comfortable to talk about that. It's not trendy to talk about that. But I was surprised to hear you speak on it on your Instagram and quite so with openness. And that's why I said, maybe I should put her on.
Yeah.
see what she has to say that could, that could shed some light on the subject. It's not often. And it's not often talked about, because a percentage of people that are trying to conceive, after marriage, it's not as easy. People say, what's so hard? It's like, no, you don't understand. Have you talked to people? Have you spoken to different circles? Because that's what you have in your head, or that's what you assume right away. But in fact, I find that most people get pregnant from just a one night stand, or when they're teenagers, where their hormones are raging, and that's it. But once they get to a certain, I don't know if it's a certain age, and I don't know what kind of research you've done. Like, tell me how you got into this whole bit of engaging people with this topic, because it used to be, I saw you doing things about skincare and you having fleek lashes, really, right? But it's just not. What transitioned you to this discussion?
So my husband and I had a miscarriage in July of 2019. And I remember, I went to a priest who's actually a close friend of ours, and I asked, what do we do in this situation? Right. So obviously we were devastated. And I guess, for me, being a woman, being more emotional, I took it really hard in the beginning. And Joni was kind of just quiet, and I didn't really know how he was feeling. And I got a call from the hospital, from a social worker, basically saying, we have support groups. So if you are interested, please let us know. And the priest that I spoke to, He actually referred us to the Sisters of Life. And so that was kind of what really sparked all of this, I guess, because like they actually prepared me for what doctors would say when I get to the hospital when they were going to remove the gestational sac from my body. And so they told me what terms the doctors were going to say and what they meant and what options they were going to give me. They didn't enforce any options for me to take. They just gave me information. And so and I felt comfortable. And then I started a relationship with one of the sisters there, and she's now become such a close friend. And so going through that suffering and growing in my faith at the same time and learning that miscarriages actually happen to 1 in 4 women, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh my gosh, it happens so often. And why does no one talk about it? Right? And the more that I started to share about my journey, which has only really been in the last year, I've had so many friends, okay, not even just like regular women out there, but friends that have DM'd me and shared their story. And I'm like, wow, this whole time, we've been friends, and I had no idea that you went through that. And I was like, why does no one talk about it? And reading other people's stories on Instagram and why they were scared to share it. There's that it's because of that expectation from the beginning that like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm getting married, we're gonna start a family, it's gonna be great. And yeah, and even our parents, and I had a talk with my mom, and she's like, why is it so hard for you to
Conceive,
conceive, and I said, and after also starting an online business selling non-toxic hair and skincare, I learned about the effects of the ingredients in our personal care products. So I said to my mom, like, honestly, mom, there's a lot of factors, the environment, excuse me, that we live in now is so different from the environment back then, right? And with the rapid sales of products, the marketing, and how much it's improved from your time to like just all those years, like you get what's cheap, because in the beginning when you come here to Canada, you don't have much. So you work with what you have and you get with whatever fits in your budget, not realizing the effects of the things that are in those products. And she goes, so you're saying this is my fault? And I was like, no, because I was like, this is me.
Ouch.
I know. I was like, no, mom, that's not it at all. You didn't know, right? Because you had the best of intentions when you were, when we were kids and you were raising our family and still raising our family, So, it's just crazy how, that affected all of us. Not knowing, like we all didn't know, and I'm pretty sure, maybe the people who made those products didn't even realize that either. They just wanted something that's going to last longer on the shelves, and give us all the illusion that we are being cleaned, So learning all these things, learning the effects of the ingredients in the products that we see on a regular basis in drugstores and how that affects our bodies and how they lead to infertility. And now going through my own infertility experience, it's a lot, and is why I'm continuing to share these things, right? Because there's so many people who just don't know, and also so many people who are still kind of closed-minded to it, that they're like, oh, whatever, you know, that's life. There's bad stuff everywhere, so you know what, like whatever, right? And that's fine, right? Like if it I just hope that one day, like I can still like just share information and just give some sort of education on what the effects are. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's your choice, right? But yeah, so that's kind of why I share what I share, because not everyone talks about it. It's a hard topic to talk about. And there's so many things that people just don't know about and that are, you know, would be great for them to learn. And I'm still learning. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
that's important. So thank you for giving us that sort of journey and transition. Why do, or what did you find rather, in discussions with or conversations with people about the I guess it's the stigma, right?
Yeah.
That once you are married or settled down or somewhat, that it is almost 100% sure that the family will begin, and then it, when it doesn't, is that a shame thing? Is that what people feel like? Is that what these women have felt? Is that why they don't talk about it?
Yeah, it's partly shame, failure to themselves, a failure to their husband, a failure to their families. And it's that living up to that expectation that after they get married that they will conceive a child or that they will start a family. Or even if it's not right after they get married, but at least at some point, you know. And we have friends who have been married for years. Some more than 5 years now and still are struggling to conceive, right? And I know for myself, like I know it's only been like almost 3 years, and sometimes it does hurt to see your friends who got married after you to conceive before you.
Yes, I've yeah, that's
Yeah.
I wonder, and because I ask this because I'm not married, I'm not even in a relationship, I'm single and choosing not to mingle, you know, that's a choice I've made, but I have so many friends, you know, people we know, right? People you and I have common friends, and we're like, and it and I if I'm wa and I'm watching that sort of encounter in a public gathering, and I feel I kind of cringe inside, and it's like, oh gosh, like I wonder how they must feel. And then you have this cultural thing happening, and I wanted to discuss it here because I wonder what you think about it when our uncles and aunties suddenly start asking questions, just broaching the subject right in a public place,
Oh, yes,
and just
definitely.
ask. Like, so how come you don't have any kids yet? It's like, are you
Yes.
pregnant yet? You know, and it's caused such well, it just caused negativity really, around that subject, so that instead of having a happy conversation about it, it becomes like, you know, something untouchable. Like, well, of course, you really don't want to ask somebody something private like that, right? And I find really offed by that, right? Like, I'm turned off by such questions. And then I'm not even the one being asked. Like, you know how these days we get offended for other, we get offended for other people, right? I don't want to be offended for other people, but I just feel for friends that are dealing with that because, back in the, I don't know, years ago, I had a friend. Oh my God, she was. We're talking about shame. Like, it's as if God was punishing her. This was kind of that whole idea is that I don't have a child because I think God's punishing me. For what? Right? And crying her eyes out, to me, and at least we were the only ones in the restaurant, really. But it was just like, and I could see the staff kind of, some of them were seeing it, and it's uncomfortable to see that she's crying so hard. But at the same time, I'm like, I couldn't say anything to get her to calm down because she has to get it out of her system because she hasn't been talking about it, right? She hadn't been, she ha had been carrying the burden for long, for so long. And so that's the kind of story that I heard. And of course, that's the sort of the extreme where they're like, God is punishing me narrative, right? And the other ones are just silent. They don't say it until you find out later. But of course, this friend of mine, praise God, years later, she has a beautiful daughter and looks like exactly like her, which is amazing. It's really cool, right? But I mean, at that point where it happened, it's like as if the whole world has turned against you. And I didn't realize how terrible some people could take that, right? And some people just wave it off and say, eh, maybe because they are aware that it does happen. But I did hear that it's not talked about because of, not because of the mis the fact of miscarriage itself, but the aftermath of the miscarriage if somebody else knows, right? That's really what they're afraid of, and that's why it's not talked about. They'd just rather have it and then forget it. Now, infertility is a whole other thing where one of the partners, for example, is impotent, right? Or like, or you know, if there's a case like that, then it's, then really that's a whole other sword in your heart, so to speak, right? And I don't know how to, you don't know what to say to or how to react to those. And so yeah, if you did you also deal with, and I remember you said this before about being a plus size person, right? Like, and you're not ashamed of that, which is amazing. Like, you're really body positive. Someone told you that that's the reason why you can't conceive is because of the size of your body. It's like, how do they, are they any, is there any science to that? And it's funny, but of course it's like, well, that's very insensitive. Like, why would you tell someone? How did you cope with that? Like, how did you manage to get over that?
I honestly, I got it a lot. I got it a lot from family, from the community even, from like the elders, right? And it's just that, I guess it's just that like you know how there's already that sort of Filipino mindset of like or expectations of like, you know, if you're skinny, then you're healthy. So they like even before I got married, there were already comments or like unsolicited advice of like, Eka, make sure that you know you start losing weight now before you get married so that you can conceive, because if you stay this big, it's going to be harder for you to conceive. And you know, I was like, okay, thank you. And you know, and now I get it. I still get it. Is like some of my titas will be like actually when I was pregnant, and they and I only told one tita, and she said, oh, she's like, I kind of had a feeling because you got bigger. So I'm like, okay, thanks, you know. But yeah, so like I think learn going through this fertility journey and talking with doctors and learning more about PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, which I have not been officially diagnosed with PCOS. A lot of women with PCOS don't get their periods regularly. And that was kind of the thing that sort of stuck in my head about what I knew about PCOS. I really didn't know much in the very beginning. And I'm still learning right now, but there are women with PCOS who do get their periods regularly, but still have other symptoms. And one of those symptoms is actually difficulty in losing weight because of insulin resistance or things like that. So it's not easy. And then it makes us women feel like are like there's something wrong with us. You know, if our body is not cooperating, because like it's like I'm working out, I'm eating healthy, and why am I still at the same weight? Like, what's wrong with me? And then we constantly feed that to our minds that there's something wrong with us, and that, you know, we're because there's something wrong with us, we're not normal. And then, you know, there's this societal norm that we feel like we need to fit into. And I was just so tired of that. And like, you know, yes, I'm a plus size girl, and yes, there are things that I can, you know, I can work on, and I am working on to be healthier, but what you see is, you know, is not equivalent to what society thinks of what I'm doing. Like I get a lot of like a lot of the body positivity reels or posts that I put out there. I get hater comments sometimes of like, oh, you're just glorifying being fat, you know, or it's time for you to lose weight, or you know, you're just lazy, that's why you're so fat, you know, go
Wow.
to the
You
gym.
get these comments?
Yeah,
That's
and
ridiculous.
I
It's
know,
20 it's
and
2021, people.
exactly, and it's like, and it's only in recent years that plus size has been more accepted, but there are still such a large number of people out there who fat shame, you know, and I know that like there was a sister that I was talking to, and she reminded me that you can only control how you react to all like everything that you face. And mindset is really everything in this situation, you know. And you know, the like because the my on with my online business and the community that I've joined, we do a lot of mindset training. We do a lot of professional develop or sorry, personal development. And so because I've gone through all of that, I've learned more and more that I can't control how people think. And that no matter what I say, like I found myself a lot like talking to elders, you know, trying to let them know, like, you know, I do work out every day, or like, you know, this is what I do, this is my diet, like, and they're just like, oh, okay, yeah, just keep doing that, you know. And then when they see me again, they're like, oh, did you fall off your diet, or like, you know, are you still working out, like, you know, things like that. And it's like, yes, I am, but you know. And yeah, so it's like, you know. And I and it made me fall off, or it made me feel like I needed to eat more, and then I fell off my diet, and I fell off my workouts, and because I let it affect me so much, right? And then, you know, once I continued to accept and remind myself that you cannot control how what people think, you cannot convince them to believe you. You know, and it's really all up to them. You can say whatever you feel like you can say whatever you want, but it's really down to them. They have to be the ones to make the decision to be like, all right, no, you know, good job, Aka. you know, than to believe me that I am doing it. And to instead of being like, oh, did you fall off your diet? Like, you know, and to think that because I'm still big when they see me that I've fallen off my diet, like instead of that, like they could empower me instead. And just be like, hey, I could keep going, you know? And that's what I've been getting a lot more, you know? And that's why when I get those hater comments on my posts, it doesn't affect me. It really doesn't bother me because then it's a reflection of their closed-mindedness, not mine.
Yes,
You know,
for sure.
I know that I'm making the effort to make myself better. So it like I don't have to believe what they're saying. And
Right.
I have learned that in situations like that I have a choice. I have a choice to believe what they're saying or not let it bother me. Right? So, and that goes with like my, you know, comments about my body, comments about not still not having children, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, I love what you said about mindset.
Yeah.
And I like the word mindset training, right? Because I think we are a culture of, or rather creatures of habit, right? So
Yeah.
we think one way one day, and then we say, oh, that's going to be the thinking for the rest of my life. But we know by experience and by just history and just repeated things within themselves that certain things are not good, right? Or good in a sense, or helpful if you do keep doing that. But if you change perspective, or if you change or turn left or right, you know, do a certain detour, I don't know. Things look different. And then, oh, I never thought of that. Well, of course, it's like, you know, think of animals, right? When you're trying to train them to do something, like dogs or cats or hamsters, for example, right? Like, I mean, I don't think we're hamsters where we just, that's one way. It's just one way with a hamster, right? I think we're a bit more, I think we're a bit more intelligent, a species than that. But mindset training is important because I think if we skew one issue a certain way only, and then we kind of get surprised by another perspective on it, we can't sustain, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going back to your sharing about, and I'll get back to the mindset thing. Like I've had two cysts in my ovaries in over the years. So the first one was just a tiny one, like really just a few inches, really. It was fine. And then the second one was like massive, that it destroyed my right ovary, that they couldn't save it. So I only have one ovary left. But our family has had this, I don't know if it's PCOS, like I don't know if it is, because even my uncle has like cysts. It grows in his ears. It's like, you know, it's like, and then it goes away. So we have some sort of polycystic tendency, right? So that's what I know. But there's no official diagnosis of it, right? But I am aware that my body could grow a cyst, and it could either damage or just be nothing, right? And it'll just go away. And the knowledge is so good when you're trying to apply that to your mindset, where if you find some science and if you find some factual things, right? So some truth about it, then you can, then nothing, of course, yeah, nothing that would anyone would say would divert you from that, because you now know, you're enlightened now about things. And so, and that's what it is. It's like some little fact like that would be a light, right, to others. Now, as far as the body shaming, I mean, let me talk about this a bit, because when I was trying to lose weight, and you saw me before and after, or I think I met you when I last went to, I'm not sure if I even I saw you last time I was in Toronto, but because I lost 30 pounds. But before, even before that, I was told by my doctor too that because I was having problems with my period, I had to lose weight because it was affecting the period. And lo and behold, it did come back because I lost my period for 2 years. There was a point where
Oh,
they had to
okay.
inject me with estrogen.
Oh,
Like,
wow, okay.
yeah, it was gross. I never want to do that again. It's just gross. Because I could
Oh.
feel the liquid estrogen going to my body, and it's just, what is
Oh
that,
my
right?
goodness.
Yeah, they had to
Yeah.
inject me with that just to make sure that I was producing estrogen. But it might not have even been the weight. I think it might have just been the estrogen that was lacking in my body. And of course, it doesn't help that I'm diabetic. So if there's any insulin, so I'm figuring out, like listening to you now, I'm just like, yeah, maybe it would be hard for me to conceive as well if I had these insulin issues and polycystic tendencies. Which is good to know because, yeah, so maybe I made the right choice of not mingling. Maybe I'll date when I'm 70, and then the heck with that, you know, once menopause hits, that's like the natural birth control thing, right? Like, forget. It's like, I don't know, it's like, because I'm on the opposite side of things. Like, I would not try to conceive because I'm so afraid of the baby, you know, those videos of women giving birth. Like, you know, have you seen those? I cringe, and I always like, why do they show us that at such an early age? Like, why? Like, why is that any part? Why is
It's
that
a
a
miracle of
thing?
life video.
Right? It's like, oh God, it's so. Like, even thinking about it now, it's like, I can't do it. So that's probably why I am, because even when I was a child, I was telling my mom, it's like, no, I don't want to get married. I actually want to have a lot of money and have a lot of boyfriends. That's what I want. You know, that's like, maybe that's why I don't have a lot of money or boyfriends, right? Because God had other plans. But I feel like I'm content with this. But I guess it's also this being able to choose your life, the empowerment, you know, it's overused, that word, empowerment of women. But I think it's more of an awareness, a self-awareness thing with women, that if you are aware of who you are and you're true to yourself, there's nothing that would, distract you, right? From your purpose and where your goal should go. Like, so kudos on you. I mean, that's great. And I see your videos. Like, I mean, your Instagram, it's like, yeah, she's you're working out. It's like, okay, hey, like, let's do this, right? Like, but at the same time, you know, when people say, try to lose weight, like these hater comments, I mean, I wonder what they know about their own bodies themselves, that certain things, they take time if you are trying. And then, like you said, if there are PCOS, conditions in one's body, then yeah, you're gonna, because I know some people, it's like they're really trying, like, but for some reason can't, right? And that is one explanation. That there are other explanations for sure, but it isn't all, yeah, just go out there and run, or like, don't eat this for a month, and or take this pill, and that's a shortcut way of doing things. But I mean, I think it's not so much the I'm fat and then I'm thin, because I met, you know, this is funny, I met a thin, she's thin, like, in Africa when I went on mission, right, in Kenya. She's part of a tribe that competes in the Olympics all the time, as or sorry, competes in marathons all the time. Do you see those Kenyans or those Africans that run all the time? They're like really super thin. Well, they're not like, emaciated, but they're thin. That's their tribe. So she's like that. She's not super thin, but she's thin. And she was telling me, oh my God, I have to lose weight. I'm like, and I'm looking at her, what do you mean you have to lose weight? I feel fat, like,
Like,
see
please
her
don't say that
body,
around me.
right? Yeah, she her body image, right? Her body image. And I'm like, no, girl, like, you're fine. So when we at when she wanted to give us like help with groceries, and she said, "We want us to take you in the truck because we had a truck we can drive her." It's like, no, I'll just walk. And the market is like miles away. She'd rather walk
Wow.
because she wants to lose the weight. And I don't know what weight she's talking about.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's her perception. Her perception of
Yeah.
herself, right, is different from what we see. Right? Just like if you translate that to people who are fat, the way they see themselves translates different from for those who are not ashamed of that factor in their life.
Yeah.
We'll see it. You see what I mean? The positive, negative, whatever you want to call it. It was like, and it's like, I was wondering even after she left, like, what the heck? The
Yeah.
heck is wrong? What is wrong here? Like, and I'm looking at myself. I'm still bigger then. I'm like, what is she telling me that for? I'm like, I mean, I wasn't ashamed, but at the same time, like, what is she ashamed of?
Yeah.
Right? What is her shame?
Exactly, yep.
It was funny too at the end, but anyway, she's like, oh my God. She was like, I'm
Yeah.
so like, I need to lose weight. I'm like, no, girl, you need to eat more. That's what you need to do. Right?
Yeah,
But then I don't think that's even a good way to tell someone who has that perception too, to say to eat more, because I think maybe that's taken negatively as like a fat person saying, being told to eat less, right?
exactly,
That probably
yeah.
offends them. That
Oh,
probably
yeah,
offends
for
them when you say
sure.
to eat more, right?
Yes,
It's like, I don't.
actually, that reminds me of a story. Like, so I was staying at my grandma's house when I was in school, because she lived in Toronto and I went to school downtown Toronto. So at the time, her brother was staying there as well, and this grand uncle, I guess, her brother, I had only met him once, but and that was in the Philippines, and then he came here, and then he was staying with her, and he never talked to me. I would always say hi and everything, and he never talked to me. And then how the kitchen was set up, it was open concept, but the table was against the counter. So if I'm sitting down and he's washing the dishes, I'm facing him, and I was eating dinner just before, actually while I was writing my paper, and I wasn't even talking to him, and he out of nowhere he just goes, "You shouldn't even be allowed to eat."
What?
And I looked up and looked back down, lost my appetite, and I was just frozen. I was frozen because I didn't know what to say, and I was embarrassed. And then after that, I went to the, I remember I got up, I went to the hallway, like I left the apartment, and I didn't even know where to go. And I went outside and I just cried. And so I didn't even know who to talk to about it, you know? And then I knew that I couldn't live there anymore. And so I packed up my stuff. I finished my paper. I went to school the next day, and I left class. Luckily the next day, like my schedule was light, and I finished early. So typically I just like hang around with friends, but I went like right after class, I went back to the apartment, packed up my stuff. I called my dad. I said, "Dad, can you pick me up after work?" And he's like, "Okay." And then I had all my stuff, and then I actually wrote my grandma a letter just saying thank you for allowing me to stay there, and you know, I appreciate everything that she was doing for me, but that I couldn't, or I just missed home, right? So I didn't tell her, and then my dad was like, "What's wrong? What, like, why are you moving back home?" And so I couldn't lie to my dad, and like I wanted to just make up an excuse like I did for my grandma, but then like I don't know, like I just said it, and my dad was furious.
Of course.
He like, you know, and my dad already has a bad temper, so at first I didn't want to tell him, but then it just came out and I was like, crap. And then I started blaming myself because I was like, shoot, like it's gonna cause like a, you know,
Yeah, a
whatever in
family
the
problem.
family. And then, but my dad never really liked him anyway.
Oh yeah, sure.
So, but then
There's a
it,
str yeah.
you know, I mean, it just in a way, like it kind of made it worse in a way, but like, yeah. So, and then obviously it got to my grandma, and my grandma also spoke to her brother and was just like, what's wrong with you? You know, like, yes, I get it. Like, you know, my granddaughter is a big girl, but you don't say that, you know? So yeah, your story reminded me of that.
Yeah, because and your story is reminding me of another story when I was a child too, where I was like, I love to, I mean, shoot, man, you know me, I love food, man.
I love food
well, we
too.
like we're foodies here. Like a lot, I even have friends, and this is funny because I even have friends who, and this is again, it's just, you know, it's a story, and hopefully nobody's triggered by anything I say here, but it's like I have friends who are, you know, thinner than I am. So relatively, if I've compared it to my body now, it's still thinner than I am, and yet can eat more than myself. And I enjoy eating with them because I feel like I can eat vicariously through them because I'm finished with half a burger and they're still scarfing on the second burger. And I'm like, and then where do they put it all? Right? I don't know. And
I
they're
have
like,
friends like that
and
too.
I love watching them eat because it's like, wow, where that's
It's
amazing.
like,
You're
where does it
just
go?
hoovering. She's hoovering, and it's women, right? It's hoovering the food, and then sometimes some of them. Oh, you know, some of the guys, if they don't finish it, are you going to eat that? And then so, you know, the late the, these ladies will just get in there and food is such a comfort. It's like a friend sometimes for us, right? That's why when we feel bad. We
We
eat
eat,
ice cream or like, you know, it's a, I know it, food isn't a great place to actually do that. I mean, I've had friends who are quite strict, nutritionists too, or like they're all about fitness. It's like, no, if you want to reward yourself, don't eat food, you know, buy something else, discipline yourself because, you know, because you have high cholesterol, because me, right? Like they know me, I have high cholesterol. I have high blood pressure. So obviously I have to watch what I eat, because I'm young, and if I get to the hospital because of a heart problem, it is part of my family. We have heart problems in the family, so and a lot of us are diabetics too. So we know our history as far as genetics. So we have to, I have to do that. But yes, there are times where, you know what? No, because when I was a child, I'd love to eat, and then one of the times that I cried over food was because. My dad said, or I don't know if it, my dad and my mom said, "Hey, that's enough. You're eating too much already." Like, because I ate already, but I wanted to keep eating because it was good. Like, and then I totally dropped the, you know, the fork and spoon and cried and just laughed, like, you know, and it's a joke because I say it as a joke to other people. It's like, oh my God, imagine like Lisa's eating too much. Like, oh, look at her, like. What the heck, right? Stop eating, right? Like, and I was like, I felt bad because say, why are you telling me not to eat? Like, because you ate already and you're eating another plate of it when, you know, like I wasn't like a big girl either when I was like, I wasn't that, you know, big when I just love to eat. And they didn't want me to just overeat because I was already a tall girl at, I think it was the tallest in my grade school, like grade six, I was the tallest, and all that. Like I was more of a big, when I say big and tall, girl, right?
Yeah.
And then I just got bigger as the years went by, but because that's because I was just wasn't watching a proper diet of things, right? Like when I say diet, my context is diet is the food that I'm eating, not
Yeah.
diet like the way
Like
people understand it.
restricting, yeah,
Yeah,
yes.
no restrictions. But then that caused me issues because I can't, that's, I think that's why I had high blood. I had, like, I know someone who's, and I'm not gonna name his names here, but I know someone who I again, a close friend. He was taking high blood pressure pills way earlier than I was, and you look at him and he's lean.
Oh,
And
wow.
it's because he was eating a lot of fatty. There's some fat in the food that he was eating, and it wasn't Filipino food necessarily, but it was what, when you go out in a restaurant, if you're like, restaurant food is not necessarily healthy, even if you say it's salad or something, right?
Oh,
Like there's
yeah.
some, like some restaurant food, you say, if you look at nutritional charts of restaurant food, you have to be careful because a lot of them actually are higher in saturated fats or higher
Yep.
in unhealthy things than your own home cooked meal, right? So, or even like for me, like a muffin, I stay away from muffins because donuts have lower fats. Like I'd rather have a donut
Oh,
than a muffin.
that I didn't know. Okay.
Muffins are bad for you. As far as breads, bagels aren't good either. In terms
Oh,
of
okay.
if you're going to be restrictive or anal retentive about food that you're eating. So these are like things that I've learned along the way, and so I stay away from that. And like these days I don't eat wheat bread, I only eat whole grain. Because of the, I mean, a lot of people are getting gluten stuff, but
Yes.
it's all health, right? It's all health
Yeah.
and wellness. So back to that, like this guy was just like, wow, he's taking high blood pressure and he's younger than me and leaner than me. So it's not about the looks. So you could see
Yep,
someone who's
exactly.
big, right? Like there was this another friend of mine in BC. I think we had a conference in Vancouver, and some of the boys from Toronto were surprised because this friend of mine, he's a guy. You could say he's a bit on the, he wasn't chunky, but he was just sort of, he's a shorter guy. Like he's not like 5'8" or anything, but he looks like he's big, but actually he's actually fit because he snowboards, he does a lot of things, active things. He jumped from the floor of the gym to the stage.
Whoa.
Like he literally jumped. And how do you do that? Guys, this is Vancouver. They hike up here. They do a lot of exercise in Van. I was being sarcastic, just like me, And I was, and then they're, and then it's like laughing. Okay, fine, whatever. It's like, yeah, I'm just saying. They eat a lot here. They eat a lot of sushi. They eat a lot of like stuff that we normally eat out in the G6, sorry, G6, in the six. But they hike a mountain after eating those carbs. They hike a mountain, they snowboard, whatever, right? That's how he did that. And
That's awesome.
then they look at me like, let's go back to
Like,
the
okay,
let's go
fine,
back
this
to the
is
ex let's go back to the set design. Like they forget it, it's like let's not talk about it. It's because they were surprised at that, and I'm like, it's a lifestyle thing. And that's what I did, remember, in Montreal when I like totally burned the band there, when I said, we're not supposed to be going out at 12 midnight eating pork chop in Montreal, like just, feed, like basically feeding our faces. That's not how you lead your heart. You're gonna go into heart disease that way. And I did that at Montreal, so everybody was laughing. It's like, why you gotta do that? It's like, well, it's true. I gotta call you out because I'm concerned about you. Because I know exactly what they're eating. Because they invited me to go to eat it with them. That's why I know. And I don't know. And maybe because it's age, right? Like oh my God, Eka, you're what? You're still young. And I'm turning,
33.
yeah, I'm 47. Right? So I don't look my age, but
No, you don't.
I feel it. I feel it in the, in the mornings and the evenings, when you're like trying to, even if I walk up a sta the stairs, it just hurts, man. Like it's like, and my other friend and I, who's I think the same age as you or slightly older, she's like, we are so unhealthy. And we were just walking flat. We are so out of shape, right? Like it's and I think, and again, this is mindset. So it really doesn't matter much. I wouldn't say it doesn't matter at all, but it doesn't matter much in terms of what you look like as how you think about what you look, or how you're going to address issues around your weight or any concerns you have with your health. But I really enjoyed this enlightening conversation with you. It's like, man, thank you for sharing that and
Yeah,
being
likewise. And thank you for having me.
being vulnerable about it, because it's like, I do hope people talk about it, but I mean, is there do people just reach you on the Instagram? Is that is how they reach you? I mean, friends of course talk to you, but have strangers ever talked to you about it? Like, have they reached out, like
Oh, yeah.
non friends? Okay.
Yeah, because I guess they find me through hashtags. So if there's anyone out there who's trying to grow their following, honestly, hashtags work. But yeah, like I've had a lot of people reach out because when sometimes when people start following me, like I'll DM them and I'll just say, thank you for following me, blah blah blah. And I asked them why how did you find me? And they say, I saw that dancing video that you did, or I saw that post on Infertility Awareness Week that you did, or something like that. And yeah, I get a lot of people that I don't know message me, or even reply to my stories sometimes. And that was actually how I met another girl, who's also plus size, who is also struggling with infertility. She also suffered through a miscarriage recently, and so there's all these things that we are connecting about. And yeah, I get a lot of people, and that's how I learn more too. And like through watching their journey, what they've been going through, things that they've tried, whether it's things they've tried to lose weight or to try to conceive and things like that. So yeah.
That's great. So your handle is at, what is your handle on Instagram?
Erica Eka.
Okay, that's
Yeah.
ERIKA.
Erikaekah.
Okay,
So
perfect.
yeah, my
So
first name and
yes.
my nickname.
Awesome. So if anybody wants to reach Erica and just reach out and ask questions or just share your journey, please do so on Instagram, and I'll post that on the podcast episode for you to see. So again, thank you guys for listening to this podcast, and thank you, Eka, for being brave and being such a champion for other women out
Oh,
there with
thank
what you
you.
do. So hopefully this gets you more followers and less haters. So more lovers,
More love.
more love, please. Anything you want to say before we completely close the interview?
I guess I just want to say, well, first of all, thank you. And that there's nothing to be ashamed about, whether it's with your body, whether it's with infertility or anything like that. And it's really, start loving yourself, start embracing the person and the body that God has given you, the person that God has made you to be. And there are so many wonderful things about you that are so much greater than what you see in the mirror, right? And a lot of the people around you that really do love and care about you don't see what you're seeing. So, you know, like, look at the good things, focus on the good things, because the things that you focus on, you're accepting. So if you're focusing on the fact that, you know, that you're overweight or whatever, or you think that you're fat, or you think that you're ugly, or you think that there's something wrong with you, then you're gonna start accepting that as the truth, and then it's just gonna be harder for you to get out of that. So love yourself, and you know, embrace the gift that God has given you, which is you.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So many times. But
Yes.
well, thank you, Eka, and have yourself a wonderful, wonderful Canada Day. Well, it is Canada Day that we are
Yes.
in at the moment, but have yourself a wonderful day and enjoy the heat wave.
Oh yeah. I think
Yeah.
it's hotter there, but apparently the heat wave is coming towards the east, so we'll probably get
Yeah, could you
it
please take it? Yeah, anyway. But
soon.
yes, thank you for this time, and thank you listeners for tuning into another episode of My Dirty Laundry, a podcast of ideas. God bless everyone.
Bye, thank
Bye.
you.